I know there's a lot of sick folks. This has been a year, hasn't it? And some of them are still sick, and some of them have gone off with some livestock stuff, and some of them just realized I was going to preach on stealing this morning, and I think they just didn't show up. Do people do things like that? I think they do. I think they do. We have got a really good opportunity before us as a church this next week. And the junior college rodeo is in town Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. And we get to have a big part in ministering to those youngsters that are coming in here. We're going to give them Bibles and give them water and get to preach to them and minister to them in different ways, and we need help doing that. If you think there's any way in the world you could come out on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday night and help out for a little while, we sure would like to talk to you after the service this morning. We need to get some names because we're going to get you free passes where you can get into the rodeo. And, you know, we'll be able to take turns working and going out and watching the proceedings and what have you. But it's a great opportunity to just share with kids that are coming in from who knows where, from all over. There are going to be anywhere from 600 to 1,000 contestants at this thing. It's no little deal. And so we have a real big opportunity here. And I hope you're listening and that you'll stick around after the service for a few minutes so we can talk to you about what needs to be done, okay? Counting on you, depending on you. I know you always let me, never let me down is what I'm trying to say. Okay, well, we've been preaching our way through the Ten Commandments. And we are to number 8, which is, you shall not steal, right? Okay, Exodus chapter 20. We're talking about how we can get to know God's ways. And I don't know of anything any better to explain his heart and how he thinks about things than to study the commandments that he gave us. Only 10. You'd think there'd have been thousands, wouldn't you? But there are 10. And so they're extremely important, each one of them. These are God's laws for living. And I want to read here, and by means of review of these commandments that we've preached on thus far, and then come to our text for today. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 20. Doesn't hurt us to read through these every time, does it? To refresh our memories about what God says. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. And then we come to the text today. You shall not steal. Heard about a country church that was interviewing a potential pastor. Their job was to see if they wanted him to come, you know, to be their pastor. And among other questions, they asked him this one: do you preach against sin? He said, not only do I preach against sin, I call it by its first name. They said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, not only do I preach you shall not steal, I preach you shall not steal watermelons. Think about that a minute. That's pretty specific, isn't it? And I'm not too sure, but that's not the kind of preaching we need today. Pretty specific, to the point, and not leaving any wiggle room, you know? Because folks will find wiggle room if there's any at all. They will find it. That's kind of what I'd like to do with this commandment today. You shall not steal. That God would apply its meaning to our hearts. So would you join me for just a moment? Father, if you're not involved in what we're doing here right now, there's not any reason for us to be involved. Lord, if you don't do it, it won't get done right. If it's not your power, it's the wrong power. And so, Lord, we just want to yield to your Spirit. Ask for an anointing, both of the words that are said and the words that are heard. We ask you to take this from your heart and apply it to our lives. And that we might please you, that we might live for you, and that we might be blessed because of it. And so, Lord, we thank you for it, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to leave that on the table for a little while this morning. Jesus told a parable. We know it as the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, you can read all about that if you want to when you get home. It's in Luke chapter 10, and it begins in verse 30, and it says that Jesus said that there was a certain man who went down from Jericho, or down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And really, you go down from Jerusalem to Jericho about 1,300 feet because it goes down into that valley. It's very, very low there. And he fell among thieves, and the thieves beat him, and they left him there by the wayside, half dead. And then he said a priest came by, but he passed by on the other side, and a Levite came by, and he also left him lying where he was. But then Jesus said, a certain man, a Samaritan. Now to the Jews, there wasn't any good thing about Samaritans, all right? Nothing whatsoever. And so this Samaritan stopped and rendered first aid. The man from Samaria put him up on his donkey and carried him away to an inn. And he paid his bill and he took care of him. And in that parable of Jesus, we have the three philosophies concerning personal property. The first philosophy is illustrated by the thieves who said, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it from you if I want it. Plenty of that around today, isn't there? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning primarily, the philosophies of the thieves. But there's another philosophy, and it's the philosophy of the priest and the Levite. These didn't say, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it if I want it. But they did say, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. It's mine. So they went by on the other side. And their motto was, like so many people, while they're not thieves as such, they're very selfish and stingy. Their motto is this: get all you can. Can all you get. Sit on the lid and poison the rest. Ever been around anybody like that? They're just out for number one, self and self alone. It's just like Christ never lived and died for them, you know. Little girl wrote this poem. She said, I gave a little party this afternoon at 3. It was very small. 3 guests were in it. I, myself, and me. Myself ate all the sandwiches. Well, I drank up the tea. And it was I who ate the cake and pie and passed, who ate the cake and passed the pie to me. I've known folks like that too. What's mine is mine, and I am going to keep it. Period. So there was this good Samaritan who we need to realize represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And his spirit ought to be in all of us. But what he said was, what's mine is mine, but I'm going to share it with you ourselves. They had not had an ample opportunity to steal before the lights were to the teller, and it said, give me all your money. This is a stick up. And the teller wrote a little note on his note and sent it back to him and said, you need to straighten your tie, stupid. They're taking your picture. You know, thieves aren't really known for their intelligence, are they? It doesn't matter whether you're some kid that's ripping off stuff from the supermarket or the drugstore or the department store, you know, for thrills. Or whether you're out with a gun robbing people in the street, you know. I want to tell you, God said, you shall not steal. God said that. There's often aggressive robbery, like we're just talking about, but there's also the crime of fraud. You see, fraud is high-class stealing. That's all that is. Many people who are guilty of fraud never really think of themselves as thieves. For example, there's the person who refuses to do an honest day's work. The day when I was working out for an oil field construction company, and you know, when you're a teenager and you got a shovel in your hand, you think you're supposed to lean on it. And when folks did that, they had a little saying to somebody that was loafing on the job, and some of you guys probably remember this. They would say, you need to get your hand out of the boss man's pocket. Did you ever hear that? I'm ashamed to have heard it more than once. All it means is, when you're not doing an honest day's work, you are stealing from your employer. Did you know that? That's all you're doing. In Colossians 3:22, it says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, and that means not just when they're looking, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, folks, whatever your age, when and you go to work and you're getting paid for working, if you are lazy and careless and sloppy and indifferent, I want you to understand you have broken the spirit of this commandment that says you shall not steal. There's another side to this, of course. Employers need to hear this other side, and it's really marvelous how balanced the Word of God is. In James chapter 5, verse 4, and this is from the New Living Translation, it says, for listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's armies. The King James says, reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabaoth, which means the same thing that the NLT says, the Lord of heaven's armies. God is saying, if you do not pay a decent wage, you're going to have to face Almighty God about that. You say, well, yeah, but I can get by with it. See, it's not a matter of what you can get by with. It's a matter of what's right. And if you don't pay what's right, if you don't pay what's fair, you're taking advantage of somebody who probably has to work for you, and especially under these circumstances today, it's that way a whole lot. You might be calling yourself a shrewd businessman, but you see, in James 4, what did God say? Fraud. Stealing. That's what God said. Don't you realize the day is coming when every human being is going to face Almighty God? Don't you realize that? Well, both labor and capital need to listen to the Bible's reasonings on this. Do an honest day's work for a day's pay, and pay an honest day's wage for a day's work. And then if we sin on either side of that, what we've actually done is sinned against Almighty God, and we've broken the spirit of this command we're looking at today that says, you shall not steal. Mark chapter 14 and verse 20. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and you know, they were very religious people. They managed to make it to church every Saturday. They made long prayers. But Jesus knew their business dealings. And he spoke of the Pharisees and gave this description of them. He said that they were those who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation, he said. What did he mean by someone who devours widows' houses? Well, you see, there were those who were a widow who did not understand business principles and finances. Perhaps a husband would have died and left her some legacy. And these shrewd people would move in and take that property away from her, even though she was defenseless and a widow, ruining her livelihood, and they would say, business is business. But God said at the judgment, hell's going to get very hot for some folks. So no matter how religious he is, no matter what church he might attend to, no matter how long his prayers are, what God wrote down was thievery. You shall not steal. We can do that by open robbery, or we can do it by fraud. But there's another transgression of this commandment. This transgression is unpaid debts. Unpaid debts. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. Now, when you become what's known today as a deadbeat, when you refuse to pay your bills, you transgress this commandment that says you shall not steal. Now, just slow down, preacher. Wait a minute. Are you trying to say that it's wrong for me to buy a refrigerator on time? It's wrong for me to buy an automobile on time? It's wrong for me to owe money to the bank? That's not what this is saying or teaching at all. You see, when a payment is due and you don't pay it, then you owe it. See, then you owe it. So what this is talking about is a refusal to pay honest debts. When the debt is due and you will not pay it, you owe it to someone. Over the years, I've been amazed to hear people try to find an excuse, for example, for not paying the rent. I don't know if there's any landlords in here or not. If there are, you've heard every excuse in the book, I'm sure. You know, just had an excuse for not paying. You know, he didn't put in linoleum, and he said he would. I'm not going to pay. This thing happened. That thing happened. I want to tell you something. Now listen. You pay is what you do. You pay regardless of what anybody else do. You say, but he didn't do his part. That's not an excuse for you to become a thief, is it? That's not what it is. You do what's right, and I'll guarantee you God will bless you for doing what's right. Do you know that? He will. You know, people say it pays to be honest, and yeah, but the truth of the matter is sometimes it costs to be honest, doesn't it? It does. So don't be a deadbeat. You know, slander is another way of transgressing this commandment. There are more things to steal than a person's real estate or personal property. You can steal somebody's reputation. You can do that. Shakespeare said this, "He who steals my purse steals trash, but he that filches from me my good name robs me of that which not enriches him and makes me poor indeed." Ah, it's a lot of that going on these days too. Of course, none of y'all have ever been guilty of gossip, right? I mean, this is a cowboy church. We don't gossip. Excuse me, I had to cough. You need to ask, have you ever been guilty of gossip? Ever been guilty of robbing someone of their reputation or their good name by telling falsehoods about them? Or maybe you even told the truth about them when you didn't have any business opening your big mouth in the first place? See, as I read this book, it tells me that God hates this kind of thing. God just hates it. The book says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches," in Proverbs 22:1. See, it's far better, I think, to steal a man's money than to steal his reputation. That's my opinion. But I think so. That's another way you can transgress this commandment. Now, seems like one of the most popular indoor sports these days, and maybe it has been forever, is for young people to cheat at school. You know, just cheat at school. And what you always hear is, everybody does it. You know, like that's okay. It might be that everybody's wrong. Did you ever stop to think about that? But if you're a believer, you're not supposed to cheat at school. Period. The Word of God says you shall not steal. If you do, are you listening? You're always the loser. Always the loser. The person who cheats in school is actually cheating himself, most of all. You know, in a certain college, there was this old boy who was there for his ability to play football, not for his scholarship abilities. And he had managed in this one particularly hard class to sit right beside a Phi Beta Kappa. That's the guy who's on the honor roll all the time. And he cheated off of that Phi Beta Kappa almost all the way through that semester, that class. Now the professor suspected that he was cheating, but he couldn't prove it. One day, the Phi Beta Kappa came to a particularly hard question. And he wrote on his paper, "I do not know the answer to this question." The football player wrote on his paper, "Neither do I." You go to school to learn how to study, to learn how to do things. It's better to fail than to cheat. Do you know it? It's better. See, everybody says, well, you know, you do what you got to do. Everybody's got to live. I beg your pardon. Really, everybody's got to die. Did you know that? Everybody. And when you die, you got to face God. And when you face God, you're facing the judgment. We're to do right regardless of the circumstances. I'm going to repeat that one more time. We got to do right regardless of the circumstances. We have to do it that way. Well, you know, I got to get through school. Then I'll change. Well, listen, this ought to be your philosophy. It's never right to do wrong. Can you say that with me? It's never right to do wrong. God said, you shall not steal. But one of the most horrible and wicked sins of stealing is the theft of someone's faith, their faith. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and beginning in verse 29, it says, God is speaking, "Does not my word burn like fire? Is it not like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces?" You know, I've actually proven this many times when I've preached God's word and I've seen God's word burn in the hearts of people like a fire. And I've seen God's word like a hammer just keeps on pounding away and pounding away until the hardest rock will crack. You see, there is power in the word of God. Power. And so I preach the word, and through these years God has honored his word. Because God's word is like a fire, and it's like a mighty hammer that smashes a rock to pieces. Don't you thank God for the power of his word? Don't you? But in Jeremiah 23, verse 30, it says, "Therefore." This is because God's word is so powerful. It says, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, 'He says.' Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness." What is God saying to us here? God is saying, if you're guilty of stealing the word of God out of somebody's heart, or stealing something from someone else and calling it the word of God when it's not the word of God, and preaching it as if it were the word of God, he says, "I'm against you." Now, of all the folks in the universe that I don't want to be against me, it's Almighty God. Isn't that right? Amen. It's the worst form of thievery. Dr. Robert Lee used to talk about how angry he was with theological professors who would break into the house of faith of some young student, you know, gone off there to study and to learn the truth, and then with reason scissors would clip faith's wings, literally destroying their belief while they were under their tutelage. Well, I say amen to that. Jesus said, if you cause someone to stumble, one of these little ones that believe in me, it would be better for you if a millstone were hanged about your neck and that you were cast into the deep of the sea. That tells us a little bit about God's heart, does it not? Shows us a little bit how he thinks and cares about things. You see, this is God's warning against these false prophets who do not believe that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, infallible word of God. It's like a fire, and it's like a hammer. And it's thievery to steal away faith out of someone's heart. God said, "I'm against these prophets." I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of moaning and groaning at the judgment when some of these who've destroyed the faith of young people who went off to college, went off to the seminary to be able to lead other people, and they have to come because the Almighty, because they've transgressed this commandment also, "You shall not steal." They steal my words, God's word, everyone from his neighbor. That's the theft of faith. I'll give you an example of that. You may remember who David Hume was from your studies. He was a philosopher from Scotland in the 1700s. He was a humanist. He was an unbeliever. But his mother was a Bible-believing Christian. David Hume was clever, witty, intelligent, logical, and could argue his way out of a paper sack, and he would argue with his mother every day about her faith. Day after day after day, he argued with his mother and belittled her, and he cut her down and he whittled away at her faith until finally he had stolen away the word of God out of her heart. When at last his mother came to die, he tried to comfort his mother. Can't you imagine a humanist, an infidel, an agnostic, trying to comfort someone in the hour of death? That's not very possible. And he said to his mother, "Mother, hold on." She looked at him in agony and said, "Son, there's nothing to hold on to. You've taken away my faith." Folks, that's stealing. See, that's stealing is all that is. So there's the theft, like robbery, one man against another. But let me mention another form of thievery. Not just of one against the other, but there's also the thievery of stealing from God. Not only defrauding man, but defrauding deity. So how does one do that? Well, you knew I was getting to this place, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says this, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God?" And I want to underscore this phrase, "And you are not your own." You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Somebody says, "Well, at least I own me." No, you don't own you. You belong to God. Didn't you hear it said? You're bought with a price. Now, suppose that I take something that belongs to you and I abuse it and I misuse it and I ruin it and I use it up and I waste it. You know what that makes me? That makes me a thief. That's all that is. I've had that experience with a couple of lawnmowers. Not that I loaned to people, you know, and that's the thing that happened. When you take your life, your body, your soul, and your spirit that belongs to God, and you use it and misuse it and abuse it and waste it and throw it away, are you listening? You have robbed God. Do you see what I'm saying? You have robbed God. You belong to the Lord. He bought you in agony and blood on the cross with his own blood. You're not your own. Peter tells us you're not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. There was a kid that carved himself a sailboat. Did a good job, and he loved that little boat. And he had it out in the little stream, and he was guiding it with a stick, you know. And a big puff of wind came along and just took it right out of his reach and blew it across the stream and over on the other side and down out of sight, and it was gone. Now, I'm telling you what, he was really proud of that thing. He had painted it red, and it was his own workmanship and craftsmanship, you know, but now it's just gone. And he's pretty dejected about that and heartbroken about it. Several days later, he was passing a secondhand store, looked in the window, and lo and behold, there was his little sailboat. Someone had got it out of the water and gone to that particular store and sold it to the guy, and he had it in the window for sale. Well, the young guy went in there and demanded to have it back. He said, "Son, I can't give it to you. I purchased it from someone else. You know, it's for sale. If you want it, you can purchase it." He said, "How much is it?" And the guy told him. And so he left there, and he went to work earning some money, and he came back to the proprietor of the store, put the money down on the counter, and he said, "Now let me have the boat." And the man brought it out and let him have it. Now, the little guy took that boat and he's hugging it up, you know, to his chest. He's going out the door. And this is what he was saying. "Little boat, you're mine. In fact, you are twice mine. You're mine because I made you, And you're also mine because I bought you back. Isn't that what God can say to us? Same thing. You're mine. You are mine. I created you, and then I redeemed you. I bought you back. So you see, we steal from God, we defraud God when we refuse to serve God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. That's stealing from Almighty God. Question: have you surrendered everything to Christ? Well, have you given him your life? Have you surrendered your all to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you hadn't, guess what? You've broken the law we're studying this morning that says you shall not steal because you are not your own. There's another way you can steal from God, not only by withholding yourself, but by also withholding your stewardship. And we always wind up Malachi 3 for this, don't we? That's the best place to go. It's the last book in the Old Testament, but it's certainly not the least important. In verse 8, talking about stealing from God, ask this question: will a man rob God? Will a man rob the God that says, you shall not steal? Boy, that's crazy, isn't it? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, you say. Where have we robbed you? And this is God's answer. Listening? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I don't care to tell you how long it took me to figure that out. It did. It took me a long time to figure out what God was saying there. But when I did figure it out, I wondered, how in the world could I have been so stupid for so long? Huh? You know, how in the world could that happen? But it did. You see, you steal from God by withholding your stewardship, by withholding your tithe. You don't ever hear about that in this cowboy church, do you? You don't ever even see offering plate in front of you. Got a hat back there, you can put something in if you want to, okay? And God's blessed that. But you see, when you talk about tithing, there's always folks who don't like it. You know what? They may show up at church one time during the year and the preacher's preaching on tithing and they think, boy, that's all he ever talks about. Isn't that right? I've thought that myself. I know what people think about it. There are those who protest because they don't want to tithe, and they say, now listen, let's get something straightened out here. Tithing is something that was taught in the Old Testament and not in the New Testament. Tithing was for Jews under the law. Sounds good, right? Well, let me tell you something. Tithing was taught long before the law was ever given. Did you know that? Long before the law. And tithing was even taught after the law was given. Because tithing is bringing a tenth of your income and giving it to the work of the Lord. Somebody said this about it. Abraham commenced it. You know, Abraham was a long time before Moses. Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, Jesus commended it, and so who am I to cancel it? Good advice. So Abraham is the one who commenced it, that's where it's recorded, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, Jesus commended it, so why should I try to cancel it? Well, Brother Dave, that was Old Testament, and it only speaks of a tenth. In the New Testament, everything belongs to the Lord. And that's their excuse. Sells it already his anyway. See? Not the tithe. Well, everything does belong to the Lord in the Old Testament. Always has. Always will. What does it say? The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Now, y'all wake the guy up next to you that's sleeping because he needs to hear this. He went to sleep on purpose right here. Isn't that right? That's the way that works. If we do not bring the tithe and the offering that's on top of the tithe, we have not done our duty. We have not. When you tithe, there's also an offering to go with it. We're told to give as God has prospered us. You know, for some people, to just give a tithe would be an insult to God. God does not measure our gifts by the face of the amount that's on the check, but by the balance that's on the stub. God has been so good to so many people. And for us to fail to give more than a tithe and to give abundantly is actually a sin against the God who gives us the power to get wealth. That's where it comes from. I want you to understand something. The tithe is not God's way to raise money. Yeah, you heard me right. It's not God's way to raise money. I mean, he owns it all. Everywhere in the whole universe. Now listen, God's tithe is his way to bless your heart and teach you to trust him. To bless you and teach you to trust him. And so he says, I want you to bring your tithe into the storehouse and prove me herewith, says the Lord of hosts, that if I would not open to you the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? And that's what he says. I want to tell you something. You need to try God out. You just need to try God out. I mean, if you've made the one of those that's making up excuses, first of all, I learned the hard way that there's not an excuse that will stand, period. Yeah? And when you do learn to obey God, the blessings that flow from that are so amazing, you can't believe that you didn't do that a long time before. It just works out like that. God says, try me and see if it's not true. Try me out. See if I'm not telling you exactly the way it is. So what we need to do is start believing God and trusting God and stop stealing from God. Amen? Was there an old me in there? Okay, amen. You know this is truth, don't you? And it's probably going to be the only time this year, unless the Lord changes my mind, you're going to hear such stuff. Okay, probably. So you better pay attention now. It'll go on past you and you'll get robbed of a blessing. I'd rather be anything than a God robber. I would. I'd rather be anything. Not only may we transgress this commandment by stealing from one another, we may transgress this commandment by stealing from Almighty God. Swindling God. Whew. Is that possible? Well, we try. There was a guy who professed to be a Christian, and a pastor spoke to him one time, and he said, you been baptized? He said, no. He said, I've been baptized. He said, why not? He said, well, you remember that dying thief was not baptized, and so neither have I been. Are you a church member? No, I'm not a church member. Why not? He said, you know, that dying thief, he wasn't a church member, so why should I be? Do you give your money to support the gospel? No, the dying thief didn't give his money. All he did was believe. This pastor looked at him, he says, yeah, but there is one difference between you and that thief. The man said, what's that? He said, he was a dying thief. You are a living thief. Oops. Huh? Anyone who does not render to the Lord that which is his is stealing from God. Isn't that plain how that works? See? Stealing from him. All right. The tithe is holy to the Lord. Not only can we steal from one another, not only do we steal from God, but maybe the strangest form of thievery is to swindle ourselves. Swindle ourselves. When you steal or you refuse to surrender to God, you never gain, you always lose. Always. What did Jesus say? If you want to save your life, then you need to lose it. But whoever shall lose his life, meaning by that, give it to God, the same shall find it. He said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. When we refuse to obey God's commandments, we are the ones who are being swindled. We are the ones who are being cheated. We are the ones who are the losers. You lose a lot more than the person you steal from. Do you understand that? A lot more. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, verse 25, your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Did you hear that? Your wickedness has deprived you of these wonderful blessings. Your sin has robbed you of all these good things that God has for you. God loves you. My soul, how God loves you. It's an amazing thing, the love of God for us. He loves us so much that he was willing to send his only son to a cross and die for us. That's how much God loves us. And we're afraid to trust a God who would do that? Huh. Some folks are afraid to surrender their life to God. And when you do that, you rob yourself, swindle yourself, cheat yourself. What do you get cheated of? You listen to this list? Joy, peace, happiness that God wants you to have. So let me ask y'all a question. What kind of a creature is it who will steal from himself? Bless you, Derek. Man, I'm telling you. It's great to see Dad up doing these things, isn't it? Isn't that a neat thing? And so we bless you, bro. In Oklahoma City years ago, and I'm about done with you here. Oklahoma City, a number of years ago, there was a terrible apartment fire. The firemen had rescued everybody they thought they could out of the building. But there was a woman who was in hysterics, and she was screaming and saying, I've got to get back into the building. You know, my baby is in that building. Of course, the firemen knew that it had progressed too far, and they weren't allowing her to go back. But she says, my baby is in there. My baby is in there. Madam, you cannot go back into that fire. It's too late. She said, please, please, somebody. And there was one fireman who was standing there, and he said, well, all right, turn the hoses on me, guys. I'm going in. The guy said, if you go in, you probably won't come out. He said, I can't stand this. I'm going in. So he went up the ladder into the second story. Well, they sprayed the fire hoses on him to keep away the flames. And he went back into that room. It was black with smoke and acrid with the smell. He found the crib where the woman had said that it would be. And there was that bundle. He reached down and he picked it up gently and hugged it to his bosom. And then he went back out. And when he appeared in the window through the flames, the people cheered. He came down the ladder. And the mother broke away from the other firemen and reached out and received that bundle, pulled a blanket back and said, oh my God, it's not my baby. It's my baby's doll. My baby's doll. Now that's tragic, isn't it? Let me tell you something more tragic. And that would be for a person to come to the judgment of Almighty God, clinging to ourselves the toys of this world. And having missed the Savior. When the smoke is cleared away, to see that you went all through life robbing yourself of joy and peace and the happiness that Jesus Christ brings. Now that's tragedy. That's real tragedy. You shall not steal. Father God, would you teach us this amazing truth that changes our lives so drastically? Our lives are changed when we make that profession of faith. They're changed again when we get honest with you and do what's right. I pray your Spirit would move among us in this particular time. There may be some here who have never accepted Christ as personal Savior. And Lord, they're here today and they have an opportunity to receive you. There may be some who've struggled with this commandment, you shall not steal. There may be some who in their times past have stolen in one way or another. Thank you that you said you'll forgive us if we'll confess it. I pray you'd lead them to that kind of confessing this morning. Lord, we know that you love us and you've proved yourself over and over and over again. It is amazing to me that you can teach some folks truth, but they never do hear it for some reason. Now, Lord, have your way with us. We love you, and we do want to serve you because we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those are words that fit everybody in here tonight, today. Everybody. And so we're going to call on the Lord for salvation. You may never have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, but we're going to invite you to pray along with all the rest of us and invite him into your heart. Why not get that taken care of today as the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and drawing you toward himself? Why not do that and get it settled? Huh? Why not do that? Church, help me out as we all pray together, would you? Heavenly Father, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Come into my heart. And be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's just that way. It's just that way. I've said this before. I'll say it again. You and I are going to get to heaven and maybe be amazed at the number of people who sat in one of these services and at the end of the service prayed with everybody else to receive Christ. And because they did that, they got to heaven, you know. They got to heaven. Isn't that going to be a glorious thing for us to be able to see and to do? Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd like to help you out from this point on. You need to get one of these green sheets. It's in the back of the pew. Fill it out. Get your name, your phone number on there. And we'll be in touch with you. I'm running a little behind again, but we'll get in touch with you and tell you where you need to go from there, what's the next step to get it done. Okay? Now, don't forget, right after the service, those of you who even think you might be interested in helping out with the JC Rodeo this week, with our booth that we're going to be involved in, got a worship service on Thursday night. We sure do want to talk to you and give you some information and what have you. Be right over here. That's all the Bibles that we're going to give away in those boxes. And we'll meet with you right over here. Okay? We invite you to come and be a part of that. Right? Okay, I hope you will. Do you have a word?
I'm having a hard time moving.
Ah.
There it is. Pissed the wrong button. Going through this sermon, it reminded me of a life experience. David and I had not been married very long. And I went to the grocery store, and I took the two younger girls with me. And when I got home, one of them had a package of gum, and I didn't remember buying any gum. And I asked, where did this come from? Of course, there was a lot of shifting around and toe-tapping, and I took it. Well, when David got home for lunch that day, I told him what had transpired. He said, well, Gail, you're going to have to take her back. Find the checker that you checked out with and pay for that package of gum. I said, I'm going to have to. That was tough. I did not have the personality then that I have now. So it was kind of tough for me. But we did make that trip back to the grocery store. The child did have to give the checker the money, and there was emotions everywhere. But I have visited that experience over the years and realized, because of the emotions, I really truly believe there was some repenting going on, because there was not the problem again. Never did happen again. But I learned from it too that even though it was tough for me, it was really tough for her. But there was also that repentant spirit that transpired in that. I thank God for it. So I learned from it through the years. Since we are going to be helping with the junior college rodeos, they've asked that we provide sandwiches Sunday lunch. So I have made an executive decision. We usually have our meals on the first Sunday of the month, but this time we'll have it on the last Sunday of February, which is next week. And if you don't mind, would you bring sandwiches? I think that's mostly popcorn back there, so we'd need some chips too, and some tea, so we can have a meal here for the participants that want to be involved in that. If none of them show up and we have lots of sandwiches left over, we can have them Sunday night around the tables back there.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind bringing sandwiches next week, and then our next meal will be in April. Oh, that's going to be Easter.
Yeah.
Resurrection
Sunday. Last Sunday in March.
March, okay. We'll have to do some thinking on that. But next week we need sandwiches.
Amen.
And some tea.
Thank you. You guys that do from social media, primarily I guess Facebook, help us out on this thing too, would you? Would you announce what she just announced? Put it on there and get it out to all your friends. And let them know what's going on and invite them to bring, what'd you say, sandwiches?
Yeah.
Okay. Chips. And chips and sandwiches and chips and what, I just get it out there. And tea. I get it. Y'all help us out with that, would you? And we'd appreciate it. Seems to me like things get around through social media so much quicker than any other way you can think of. So that ought to help. All right. Right over here in the corner, when we say amen, if you'll come on over here and be with us right quickly, we'd certainly appreciate that. And we'll hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock for the evening worship service. And while these folks are all getting well and what have you, we're going to meet and carry on, aren't we? Amen. All right. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face upon you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. I pray the Lord would keep you healthy. I pray the Lord would keep you from harm. I pray the Lord would keep the evil one away from you and your family, and he will prosper you. And we love him for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.